You're listening to Consider This, episode 241, for January 28th, 2019.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. You have arrived at my 10-minute or less conservative podcast, Consider This. I'm Doug Payton, your guide to it all. And if you didn't intend to arrive here, that's okay, I won't be long. Find out more about this location in the podcast universe by visiting the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. Show notes, a transcript, and all the many ways to get in touch with me are there. That's CT as in Christmas Takedown. Listener Wayne suggested that one while he was doing exactly that. The Covington High School story, and lessons for all of us from it, and a long-lost segment of Name That Quote, where you may wind up giving us an amen to someone most certainly not a preacher. That's coming up. If you want to support this podcast, you can. Aside from sharing the episodes on social media, you can come to the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, and click on the Amazon affiliate link. When you check out, I get a sliver of your purchase tossed my way, but you pay the same price. And there's also a tip jar you can click on if that's more your style. Unless you were under a rock this past week, you certainly knew about the story about how a bunch of racist teenagers in Washington, D.C. surrounded an elderly Native American and harassed him by chanting, "Build that wall." Or perhaps you didn't believe the initial media reports and watched the whole video to realize that these teens were approached by the Native American, and the one kid whose face you saw everywhere tried to de-escalate the situation. As I understand it, depending on your politics, you either saw a blue and black dress or a white and gold one. But in this case, there was a way to get the bigger context if you were willing to watch it. Yes, this was Covington Catholic High School and student Nick Sandman versus Nathan Phillips, the media, and the left-wing mob. Mr. Phillips lied about how the event unfolded. The media, left and right, incidentally, took a snippet of video and overlaid a host of assumptions on it, and the mob doxed the kids and their families while threatening or suggesting violence against them. But it's Trump supporters and Republicans that are hate-filled and violent. Right. There's a host of links in the show notes about how the media came to snap judgments and how some, but certainly not all, walked back their initial reporting, and what this says about social media. Someday, someone's going to get hurt or killed because of this sort of prejudice. Then, the lessons might be learned, though certainly too late. And prejudice is the right term for taking a picture or a video snippet out of context and applying your preconceived notions to it based on skin color or perhaps a red cap being worn. Speaking of that hat, some journalists have suggested that if the teens had not been wearing them, this situation could have been diffused before it even happened. Savannah Guthrie even suggested that on national TV in her interview with Sandman. I wonder if she would also consider asking a rape victim, "Do you think if you weren't wearing that short skirt, this might not have happened?" Now, yes, rape is a much more violent act, but I see victim blaming in both questions. Apparently, that irony is lost on Guthrie. And to be sure, some of the kids could have been considered mocking Mr. Phillips, and for that they should apologize. A bunch of teenagers wound up in an awkward situation not of their making, and some of them did misbehave. But is that worth the vitriol they received? Hint, no. Do you want to know why the term fake news has caught on? It's not because of Trump. He's only been around for 2 years. It caught on because this sort of thing has been going on for a long time. We knew it was happening, and the term is just a convenient way to describe it. This was yet another hands-up-don't-shoot moment, and the media fell down on the job again. But fake news isn't just misreporting, it's also selective reporting. While there's no reason that this event should have been national news, it happened after an event that should have been. These kids joined hundreds of thousands who marched in the March for Life that weekend. The media didn't want to cover it, and they dutifully minimized it. However, they spent almost 20 times the effort on those kids rather than a weekend of events, including a visit from the vice president. The media forgot one of its truly important aspects of a story. Context. In an effort to get the scoop. They and many of us rushed to judgment before the facts came out. Social media and the 24-hour news cycle make this possible. It's killing us, morally now, but soon perhaps physically.
This is Eric Erickson. You're listening to the 10-minute or less conservative podcast, Consider This.
It's been a while since I did a Name That Quote segment. That's where I read a quote by someone and you try to figure out who said it. Then I reveal who it was, and in most cases you get to bask in the irony. I have a few quotes by a person that I'd like to read. Now, these are from tweets, so the phrasing is a little awkward sometimes, so that it fits, but you'll get the idea. Here we go. First quote. Empty head disease. Porn and PlayStation. We've lost so many good men to this. Gone. No return. Okay, getting an idea who it might be? Let's add this. Talk to our children. As young adults, we can make our own choices. But it's a slippery slope. I pray kids can be brave, rebel against it. Now I imagine you're trying to figure out what church this person represents. Here's more. The worst lovers watch porn. Numb, desensitized. Needing more and more variety, even violent. Porn is not what love looks like. Okay, so this has to be Jerry Falwell Jr. or Franklin Graham or the Pope, right? Well, those guys may have been saying this sort of thing for a long time, but they didn't say this back on January 20th. No, not those men, but a woman. And a woman who both ought to know, but who also contributed to the problem. These are the tweets of Pamela Anderson. Yes, that Playboy playmate, Pamela Anderson. I agree with what she said. I do wonder how she squares these views with her career. And I'm afraid that career will blunt any good her words could do. This is something of an example of how, if you want people to listen to what you have to say, you need to live it yourself. Otherwise, you may find that fewer people take you seriously. That's a lesson for all of us, me especially. But I'm very glad to hear it from someone who might make today's teens and 20-somethings reconsider their habits. Okay, you can pick yourself up off the floor now. And finally, Glenn Reynolds recently posted this at his Instapundit site regarding the vitriol coming Nick Sandman's way. Quote, "Hey, remember when nobody was supposed to criticize David Hogg because he was just a high school kid?" Close quote. Well, at least I know I'm old enough to remember. Great times. So what do you think? Let me know, because I want to feature your thoughts here. Stop by considerthis.ctpodcasting.com to find out how. Either by phone, email, social media, and comments on the show notes. While you're there, you'll find a transcript of the whole show, pretty handy. So let's learn the lesson that the media had a hard time learning. Don't react. Respond. Count to 10, or give it 48 hours. Or maybe even better than reacting or responding, relaxing. You don't have to say anything. But if you will, take all the time you need to consider this.